Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. In 1979, CWH began proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world through my dad, Pastor Salem's weekly broadcast. Today, we continue to deliver Dad's timeless and relevant messages like today's program, which originally aired in 2018. It was May of that year when we premiered the film, Heart of a Shepherd. In this recorded service, you will hear Hank speak to this film, a beautiful story of Dad's life and what God can do when just one person accepts his call. If you would like more information on Heart of a Shepherd, please contact us. In today's message, Daniel and the Lions, Dad reveals four lessons of Daniel where we can draw from his life of serving God faithfully and staying loyal until the time of his death. We hope you will be enriched by this message today. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy when the weekends come, just to get excited because we're going to get to visit with you and worship with you. And someday we're going to see you face to face if you're trusting Jesus. Have to trust Jesus. And today we're going to be thinking about Daniel in the lion's den. And who doesn't love that story? So maybe call some of your friends and we'll look at Daniel as he faces the lions. But we're reading from Psalm 92 today where the psalmist says, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, such a great and a wonderful God, who just by your own word brought everything into existence. Out of nothing you brought everything. And so we just worship you, and we are so glad we can just crown you the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we can call you our Father through Jesus, your Son. So bless us in this service, Lord, and honor your name. And that's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Barb's going to open our service today with a song, Trust and Obey. And God bless you, Barb.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and side on the way while He's says we will do, where he says we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Well, thank you, Barb. And that's the way to live, trusting and obeying. And we're going to be studying about Daniel today. And that was the hallmark of his life. He trusted God and he obeyed God and he lived to be in his 90s perhaps. And he never wavered, kept walking with the Lord. That's the only way to travel. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Daniel chapter 6. And that's where we'll take our lesson from that. But first, I want to share some of the letters. And we just get so many nice letters, and we get some that are kind of sad letters. We start with a kind of a sad letter today, and that is from Des Moines, Iowa. And this man writes, "My wife left me, but God never leaves me. I'm lonely, but God is with me every day. Bless you and your staff." And you know, when we have the hard things of life and the tough things of life, we can think of the psalmist who said, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And when the storms come and the trials come and the sorrows come, go to Jesus, go to Jesus. He's always there and he'll accept you, he'll help you." Here's Rapid City, South Dakota. And they write and say, "Thank you for your wonderful services Sunday morning. They are priceless to me." And I wrote, put that in there because these services are priceless because we have the Word of God. We're just everyday people out here in the Midwest, but we're preaching the Word of God. And that's where the power is, and that's where the strength is, and that's where the hope is. And that's what the Holy Spirit takes and applies to hearts all over the world. The wonderful, wonderful Word of God. Let's see, St. Paul, Minnesota. "I have a lot of health issues that used to bother me a lot. I felt like life wasn't really worth being here anymore. But after learning about Jesus, I began to feel different about the situations. You know, you show and Jesus allowed me to get the comfort that I need. Now all I do is thank God for Jesus. What a relief. Thank you." And that's what God does. You know, I hear when you put your faith in Jesus, you take Jesus. He says, "My heart, I'll give you peace in your heart." He says, "Peace I leave with you, not a peace that the world can't give, but a peace that God gives to us." And we have that when we have Jesus. And he'll never leave us or forsake us, and he'll help us through the hard times of life. And then Sheridan, Wyoming. We are told here, "I am struggling with something that I feel is really bad. It's upsetting me so much, as I think I have committed the unpardonable sin. I'm not sure exactly what all is involved in the unpardonable sin, because other pastors and people just say, if you're a Christian, you haven't committed it." Well, every once in a while we get somebody and they worry about the unpardonable sin. They've committed the unpardonable sin. And when you look in the New Testament, there are three times, and by the way, Jesus never called it the unpardonable sin. And he just talked about it. He says, they're in danger of committing eternal damnation. And so if you want to read about the unpardonable sin, it's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 24. It's in Mark chapter 3 and verse 29. And it's in Luke 11, chapter 14. And what is the unpardonable sin? The unpardonable sin is a sin that when Jesus healed people and taught and did his miracles, the Pharisees and all of the scribes came and said, he's doing it by the power of Beelzebub. Jesus was doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. They said it Beelzebub, an evil, rotten spirit of the devil. And they were ascribing the works of Jesus to that evil spirit. And Jesus said, when you get up and you know who I am, and I am the Son of God, and you say that I'm doing my work by the power of the devil, you are in danger of committing the unpardonable sin. Now, the only time that could have been committed is when Jesus was here in the flesh. And so it can't be committed today. The only sin that you really have to worry about is a sin of unbelief. Because if you don't receive Jesus, if you don't believe Jesus, if you don't accept Jesus, there's no hope. Doesn't matter when you've been good or you've been bad or what, doesn't make a bit of difference. It all depends on Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so it's got to be Jesus. You know, I love the church, and the church is an institution of God. And the church is the custodian of the Word of God, to preach the Word of God to the world. And I love the church, and I spend most of my life and my ministry in the church, 60 years or so. But the church can't save you. The way of salvation is a person, Jesus. And as the church holds forth Jesus, they hold forth the way to eternal life. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the only way to God. John 14:6. Let's see, here's Eldon, Ohio, and this is from a brother pastor. And he writes and says, eternal salvation is mine as long as I keep my faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. I do not believe that you are an overcomer. Not when I heard you wish someone luck. So, God bless you, dear brother. I just love him. And I maybe just talk about luck. I don't know. I don't believe in luck. I believe in the word of God. I believe that God is in control of all things. And in our sermon today, we're going to be seeing, and next Sunday, we're going to be seeing how God is in charge of all things. There is no such thing as luck. But this brother feels that if I believe in luck, then I won't be saved. So we'll see when we get to the pearly gates. I'll meet him there. We'll shake hands and we'll be friends forever. Just love him. God bless him. Here's Big Fork, Montana. And this man writes and he says, I am 78 years of age and a follower of Christ Jesus. Recently, I broke the femur, the largest bone in the leg. I know the Lord uses trials in our lives for good. He's teaching. I've earned so much from this. Patience. Slow down. Be thankful for all things. He is with you always, bringing you through a crisis. I'm so thankful and blessed from this learning example. I can say, amen, I broke my femur bone too. And I'm learning some patience, and I'm learning to slow down. And you know, you could say, oh, dear Lord, look what you did to me. I've been serving you the best I can. And I give my whole life to you, and then you break my leg. And how I'm just upset. I'm done with you. But here, this brother has it just right. Big Fork, Montana. He says, I'm so thankful and blessed for this learning example. And I've learned a lot of things just like this brother. He's 78, and I guess I was a little older than that, about 90 or something. I can't remember anymore. But that's what you have to do with whatever comes into your life that's hard. And we're all going to have something come in our life. And we say, don't say, well, God, why did you do that? You say, dear God, what are you teaching me? What do you want me to learn? I want to learn from this. Here's Omaha, Nebraska. I put this in for they make one statement. I had to use this one. He says, thank you for your ministry. I've been faithfully watching you now for over 3 years and look forward to it every week. It's a blessing and a joy. And here's why I put this letter using it today. I tell all my friends to watch you also. So I just wish, just tell your friends, tell them, listen and tune in that. He's preaching from the Bible. And does God have any word for us today? And you tune in and you find out that we're looking to the Word of God and listening to God every service. That's all we have in mind, is to honor Jesus Christ and to honor the Father in heaven and to preach the Word of God. Tell your friends. Oh, you know what? Our congregation could double overnight if everybody told one. One more letter I want to share. Coon Rapids, Minnesota. And this person writes, I recently came back to Jesus from a lot of years of going down the wrong highway of life. I recently became disabled, and though I could be bitter, my heart is at peace. I look forward to what God has planning for my life. And this is it right here. That's what we're talking about. This person has gone the wrong road, and trouble came into her life and stopped her in her pace. And she turned to Jesus. And she says here, I wonder what I missed during all those years. Well, that doesn't matter. You just start right now, the minute you find Jesus, see? And you ask Jesus to come into your heart, just like this person has done. And then you live for Jesus. That's the only way to travel. And we have a little paper that we put out that I know it'll help you. It's called The New Song. And it's a little Bible study. And every month we have a different study. And so now this month of May, we're having a little study on let your light shine. How can you let your light shine for Jesus? And you just write, and I'll give you the address just in a few minutes here. And then you can have a little Bible study and grow in grace and in the Lord Jesus. So we hope that you'll write. And when you write, we hope you'll help us. But before I go any farther, Hank is here today. And Hank has a very special announcement that he's going to give. So God bless you, Hank.
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor. Folks, I have an exciting announcement to make. Yesterday was the official release date and the premiere of the Christian Worship Hour film, Heart of a Shepherd, featuring the life and ministry of our pastor, Dr. Harold E. Salem. It's a chronicle of Pastor's life from his youth throughout his pastoral career, and then his longtime affiliation with the Christian Worship Hour. Heart of a Shepherd is an inspiring, heartwarming story, but more significantly, the film carries the most important message on earth. You may be a believer, but are not sure how to pass on the good news of Jesus to your family and friends. This film is a great way to do just that. The Heart of a Shepherd film is now available on DVD from the Christian Worship Hour. And you can order it by sending a free will offering of any amount to the Christian Worship Hour, Post Office Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota 57402, or by ordering it online at www.christianworshiphour.com. Thank you all so much. God bless.
And thank you, Hank. God bless you. And I hope that many of you will just check this out and see what this is all about. And when you write also, let me remind you that we're dependent upon you for your gifts and to help us in the work. And we have no other source of income. We're not underwritten by any organization or denomination. We're just open to God's people. And so you just ask God and say, now, dear Lord, is that the kind of a service? Do you want me to support that and help us? And if he says yes, then you help us. If he says no, help somebody else. Then help somebody else, just so you're busy doing the Lord's work. And when you write to us, you write to us to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour, and the box is easy, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to, you can send a gift on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. And there's a place on there where it says donate. I just like that little button that says donate. And you punch that button, and anywhere in the world, doesn't matter where you're at, you can put your currency in, and we'll get it in American currency, and we'll pay our bills. And we get gifts every week. I guess every day we get some gifts from somewhere. And maybe in the United States, maybe in Norway, maybe it's in the Philippines. We've heard from all these places. So you write to us. And then I know what you're saying. Well, what if I send this money and they don't use it right? What if they just get fancy cars or houses or something? I don't know. I don't know if I can trust them. And I tell you, you can trust us, and I'll tell you why. We're a member of the international organization called, and it's called it's for giving to the people. It's called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And you just send that to us, and they would check our books, and they audit our books, and they watch everything we do. So everything is above board. We just hope that you stand by. And then if you want that new song, you can get that. Just say new song, no charge for it. Get a new study every month. So God bless you, and we're depending upon you and your prayers and your gifts. So now I'm going to pray, and Jan's going to play, and then you just give as God lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for everyone who has a part, whether it's through prayers or giving or support of any way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Daniel chapter 6. And if you have your Bibles, Daniel chapter 6, beginning with the 16th verse. And this is the incident of Daniel being cast into the lion's den. And I know we've heard this 100 times over, but it's always a thrilling story. I'm excited preaching it, and I know you'll be excited as you hear this story told again. Daniel in the lion's den. And so we begin by saying, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, and he passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning. He went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried. He cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually, is he able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they may have cannot hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him. He commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. God bless this man, Daniel. And so we're going to have a prayer now. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for the Christian persecuted church in Saudi Arabia. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful story of Daniel and how that he was absolutely never, he would not turn from you. He would let his light shine no matter what it cost and no matter what it was. And he's condemned to death, but the angel came. One angel came and took care of all of those lions, and they couldn't open their mouths or touch him. Thank you that you're such a great and a wonderful God. And Lord, as we just thank you that we know that we can always rely upon you. And sometimes, Lord, we may have to suffer for you like the persecuted church. Sometimes we have to go through the deep waters and the fires and the trials. And so we do pray for them. And we're thinking especially of our brothers and sisters in Saudi Arabia, that dear Heavenly Father, they may trust in that same wonderful God. And why sometimes, God, you deliver and sometimes you don't deliver. You didn't deliver St. Paul. You didn't deliver St. Peter. You didn't deliver many Christians over the ages. And so we give our life for you. They give their lives for you. And, oh, God, I hope I would be willing to do mine if it ever came to me. And so I just pray, we're all praying today for our brothers and sisters in Saudi Arabia, that you give them courage and help them to know that you are God. And maybe some will have to give their life for you. But you gave your life for us, dear Lord. And so just bless and have your way in every heart and soul. And may the end result be that you are pleased, that we bring glory to your name, that we honor your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now Melissa's going to sing a song, Amazing Grace. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious dear that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already
you, Melissa, the wonderful grace of God. And you know something? Of all the religions in the world, there's only one religion, and that teaches grace, and that's Christianity. And what is grace? Well, we were taught in seminary, it means unmerited favor. That is, we didn't deserve something, but God blessed us and God gave us something. And so you see that we're all sinners. We're enemies and rebels against God. And yet God, we didn't deserve anything but judgment. But Jesus came and he paid for our sins. We didn't deserve it, but he paid for our sins and gave us salvation. That's grace, amazing grace. And it doesn't matter what your sins might be. Every once in a while I get a letter from somebody and they'll say, oh, I've sinned so badly. I've done such terrible sins that God will never forgive me. You don't know what I've done. Well, I don't know what you've done. You don't know what I've done. But I'll tell you one thing. When you come to Jesus Christ, when you come to God, through Jesus, he'll forgive you. And God is saying right now, and he's going to be saying in this service to many of you, you've never accepted Jesus. And he's going to be talking to you, and he's going to say, I want to come into your heart. I want to take away those sins. And you say, those sins that can never be forgiven. But God says in Isaiah 1:18, he says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This wonderful, wonderful Jesus who comes into our heart and washes away our sins. And you know what he says about those sins? He says in the book of Hebrews, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And so come to Jesus. Come during this service. Make that prayer, dear Jesus, please come into my heart. Take away my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. And I'll forsake my sins, dear Lord. And I'll follow you. I'll make the Lord of you the Lord of my life. And thank you, Jesus. Just in your own way, in your own words. Well, we're looking at Daniel today. And Daniel is one of the fascinating stories of the Old Testament. And the word Daniel means God is my judge. God is my judge. And Daniel lived all of his life as though God was that judge. And he's standing before a righteous judge and he's living for this God. And he was careful in his living. And you know something about Daniel? Now, we know he was a sinner just like the rest of us. But there isn't anything recorded in his life that would be marked as a sin. And so, but as I say, he was a sinner. He needed to be saved by grace. But he lived a meticulous life, and he lived it for the Lord. We don't know anything about Daniel's family. We don't know anything about his early life. But we do know that he was one of the young people taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar when he overran Israel and overran Jerusalem. And this took place in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. That is, about 605 B.C. Not only did Nebuchadnezzar capture the land, but he took the sacred silver and gold vessels from the God's temple. And he also took young men, some of the young men from different parts of the city and the area. And he took them with him to Babylon, and he wanted to have them trained so they could be added to the government personnel and have a different little slant put it onto them. And so they were called to live a special life, a special way. And so this Nebuchadnezzar just took the finest young men he could find, not just anybody, but the choicest young men he had. And from Jerusalem came four young men. They would be about 13 to 15 years of age, so far as we can tell. In Babylon, they were named. Their names were Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These young men were all without blemish. They were handsome. They were people of wisdom. They had knowledge. They understood science. He chose the very best he could lay his hands on, and he took those men back to Babylon with him. And they were put under the watchful eye of a man named Ashpenaz. Ashpenaz was the master of the chief of the eunuchs. And these four Hebrew young men were taught the letters and the language of the Chaldeans. And they are taught for a period of 3 long years. After which they were then to stand before the king and he would examine them. And they were also to have food and drink of the king. They were to eat like a king, the best that they had. And Daniel requested of Ashpenaz, and he had asked permission. He says, could all my young men, could we just live on vegetables and drink water? We don't want all of the fancy food of the king, and we don't want liquor and wine and all of the rest. We just want vegetables and water. And then God bestowed on the young men this request. And God worked in the heart so that the Ashpenaz says, yes, you can live on that diet. It's all right with me. And that's what they did. Then God bestowed on the young men knowledge and skill and wisdom and understanding. He went way beyond the bounds. And to Daniel, he gave a special gift. And that special gift to Daniel was he could understand and interpret dreams and visions. And so he was endowed especially with this blessing of God. And then at the end of 3 years, these young men were found to be four Hebrew young men. They were superior to all the magicians and enchanters in the matter of wisdom, understanding. They were head and shoulders above anything that Nebuchadnezzar had in his kingdom. And so then it came about that Nebuchadnezzar has his dream. And at that appointed time, Daniel interprets the king's dream. He and his companion are loaded with gifts, and they're honored in every way because no one can understand that dream but Daniel. And Daniel promptly interprets the writing that's on the wall. He interprets this dream, this vision, this writing, and it is Mene Tekel Upheres. Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign. He's giving this to the king, Nebuchadnezzar. God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the scales and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. That's what the writing was about. That's what the dream was about. And for this service, as tough as it was, as hard as it was, Daniel was clothed with purple. He had a gold chain put around his neck, and he was made the third ruler in the whole kingdom. But Daniel's interpretation was correct. Because that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain. And Darius the Mede took over the kingdom. But Daniel was of such a stature and influence and wisdom that Darius turned to him and he wanted him to help him in the kingdom. He gave him a high place in the kingdom. Thus it was that godly Daniel served under three and possible four rulers. He served under Nebuchadnezzar, he served under Belshazzar, he served under Darius, and he might have even served under King Cyrus, we don't know. But look at his high position. Under Nebuchadnezzar, he was chief of the wise men. He was at the gate of the king. He was governor over the whole province of Babylon. Under Belshazzar, he was made the third ruler of the entire kingdom. Under Darius the Mede, he was made as one of three presidents of the kingdom, and Darius even toyed with the idea of having Daniel rule the entire kingdom. Daniel was always, he was so great and dependable and loyal, and they knew that he was a man of integrity. And so he is elevated to high position. But when that happens, he's going to have enemies. He's going to have people jealous of him. And under Darius the Mede, he aroused the jealousy of the other leaders in the kingdom that weren't granted all these favors. And some were favors, but they were afraid that Daniel might be given all of the kingdom. And so they make a plan. They're jealous of him. They're envious of him. But they've got to do something to stop him. And what can they do? And so they determined to bring him down. And there's only one way they could do it because he was perfect in all of his ways before the king. He served in such a way that they couldn't find fault with him, but they could find fault with one thing, and that was his worship of God. His worship of God. So these enemies go to the king. And they tell the king, why don't you make a decree that if anybody asks anything of anyone except you in the next 30 days, they will be killed by the lions. So the trap is set. And Daniel, they know that Daniel goes to pray and he prays at the open window three times a day, faithfully praying to his God. He prays in full view of anybody that's walking by. He's not ashamed of his God and his prayers. And so Daniel As soon as he prayed, his enemies went to the king, and they say, "The king, Daniel has broken your law. He must be put into the den of lions. You have to get rid of him. He's broken the law." And Darius is sick to his stomach. He loves Daniel. He sees now that it was a trap by these jealous leaders. But Darius is helpless because it is known throughout the whole world that the laws of the Medes and the Persians can never, ever be broken. And he's made his law that Daniel has to be cast into the den of lions. So Daniel's cast into the lion's den, but they all have lockjaw. And all he can do is he can pet him, but they can't touch him. God had sent an angel to close the mouths of the lions. Daniel's unhurt, even untouched. And while we're passing through just this little point about angels, he didn't send a band of angels to take care of a whole bunch of lions. One angel took care of the whole tribe of the lions. Gives you a little idea of the power and the might of the angels. And those angels watch over us, watch over the people of God all the time. And they're watching over Daniel. And so early the next morning, Daniel, the king, comes to check. He's overjoyed at Daniel's safety. And he has the wicked rulers cast into the same den with the same lions. And this time, there's a different God watching over them. And they're shredded and they're torn to pieces and destroyed. And then the last vision, recorded vision of Daniel occurred on the banks of the Tigris River in the third year of Cyrus. Daniel was an old man. He was well over 80, might have been even in his 90s. Good grief, how old can you get in the 90s? But he's still serving God. He's standing in the court, strong for God. And so there, this man, then he ends, that closes out his life. So ends the story of Daniel and how he was so faithful in his youth and how he made his stand. And now I want to look at Daniel. I wanted to take four lessons from the life of Daniel. The first thing is, Daniel was a man of integrity. That is, he always kept his word. He was as honest as the day is long. In private or in public, he was honest. I read of a young Christian man in the Southern University, and he made the football team as a starting split end. And he continued with always saying before God, he was saying, "Help me in the climax of moments to be honest. I pray for honesty, that one mark of integrity. I want to be that, Lord. I'll work on it through all this season while I play on this team. I'll be honest, a man of integrity." And so it came that the rival team came that night. It was homecoming. And he ran his route. He went to the end zone. And the quarterback passed a sharp pass to him. He got the ball, but it was low. And he landed on it. And the referee shouted, "Touchdown!" But the boy knew that he had trapped the ball. And for those of you maybe not so much into the football business, to trap the ball means that the ball hit the ground and he grabbed it at the same time. He trapped it on the ground. That's what had happened. And the fans were going wild and they were cheering and shouting, and he's the hero of the game. And this young man, can you imagine it, walks to the referee and said, "Sir, I trapped the ball." And the referee canceled the touchdown and they lost the game. Now, you may not understand much about football, but you know what it's like to be a fan. And this is the picture. The boy is standing there all alone, and against his team was shouting, "What does it matter, man? What does it matter? You all cried, you had it. Forget about it. Yours the rule. The man ruled for you. The referee ruled for you." And all the stands are full of the people. And the young man says, "I can't take the credit. I didn't catch the ball." And why did he do that? because he was a young man with integrity. And that's what Daniel was. And integrity makes us honest. It makes us honest before the whole world. Integrity makes us honest in the light and in the dark when nobody's looking. Daniel was a man of integrity. And then the second thing I put down, he was a man of prayer. How he went to God. Over and over we read about prayer. When he needed help and when he especially didn't need help. It didn't matter to him. He didn't go to God just when he was in trouble. He went to God. That was his practice. It doesn't matter what it was, the day or the circumstances, anything else. He went to that open window and he prayed toward Jerusalem, toward his God and toward his temple. God bless him. He was a man of prayer. And here comes the wise men, they can't figure out this vision. And the king has this dream. He has this writing on the wall, and they can't figure it out. And so what does Daniel do? He calls on his companions to pray, and he'll go and he'll answer that. And Daniel prayed, and God answered that prayer, and he stood before the king, and he gave an answer to the vision, to the writing on the wall. He was a man of prayer. Oh, my friends, listen. Don't go to God just when you're in trouble. That's all right to go to. You're foolish if you get into trouble. You're foolish if you don't go to God. But when things are going right and when things are going well, you go to your God and you thank him and you praise him and you lean on him and you give him the credit. Be a man of prayer. And then Daniel was true to God no matter what it might cost him. And it cost him a plenty. Darius does all he can to save Daniel from the den, but he cannot break the law of the Medes and the Persians. The law cannot be broken. It cannot be altered. It cannot be changed in any way. It stands as it is. And so after much soul searching, as the day comes to a close, Darius had to call Daniel and put him in a den of lions. And may I add, starving lions. Because when they're going to put somebody in the lion's den, it isn't there to make a pet out of them or something like that. They starve them. When those Christians in the Colosseum were put out on that floor with the multitudes of people watching and the lions are in the dens under the floor and then they open the doors and the lions and the tigers and the leopards and whatever they had come out and they're all starving. And that's exactly what Daniel had to face. And the lion's den was a large pit, and it was divided by a movable wall so it could be allowed, pulled up, and so that the lions could be fed in one part, and the wall could be down, and then they could clean out the den or whatever they wanted to do. And so Daniel is that they have this wall is down, and Daniel's put into the pit, and then they pulled up the wall. And the lions are free to do what they can do. And when the lions crossed over to eat, they feed him up and take him up. They found out that veil, there was no veil between them. And they were all free. But lo and behold, here comes the angel of God. And the angel of God watches them and guides over them. And before that happens, Darius prays. And he's praying and he says that God, Daniel's God, will deliver him. And Darius all the time now, he's beginning to see that maybe the God of the Babylonians isn't maybe the true God. Maybe the God of Israel is the true God. And he's praying to that true God. And then put Daniel in there. The den is covered and the wall is pulled up. And they have full access to Daniel. And then something happened. They all have lockjaw. That is the angel. God sends an angel. Jesus didn't come. He didn't send a band of angels when they announced the birth of Jesus. He sent one angel. And he ministered to Daniel. He encouraged him and he helped him. Then the devil. And that's what happened when Jesus, you remember when Jesus was tempted? And we read, and the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So now the angel comes to minister unto Daniel and keep him company in the morning. Ever wonder who the angel was? Well, this wonderful angel, it looked like the Son of God. It might have even been the Son of God. But he was an angel that came with all power. This could have been the same one in Jesus in his pre-incarnate form. We don't know. We know he was in the fiery furnace. But either with the coming of Jesus in pre-incarnate fame or come as an angel, they have that great power and might, and they care for the people of God. And I know this, that God is always with his people. And I know that God has sent an angel to come. Look at the psalmist in Psalm 34 in verse 7. And he says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him and delivereth them. Psalm 34, verse 7. Psalm 91, verse 11. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And let me tell you something, friend. Let me tell you something quickly. God doesn't always deliver us from the lions. You see that in Hebrews chapter 11. You see that in the 33rd verse. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. But verse 37 of the same chapter talks about the same people and the same God and the same faith. And it reads, and they were stoned and they were sawn asunder and they were tempted and they were slain with the sword. And there's the persecuted church. And sometimes God takes us out and sometimes he doesn't take us out. And as we pray, thy will be done. And whatever God wants is what we want. And that's the way Daniel lived, this man Daniel. And finally, quickly, let me say this. Daniel served God in his old age. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree, the psalmist says. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and he is my fortress, and he is the one that I will serve all the days of my life. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. You can't serve him if you don't know him. You can't have his strength unless you know him. And how do you know him? You say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll turn from them, and I'll serve you the best I can, and thank you, Jesus. I did that 87 years ago, and Jesus came into my heart, and he's been there ever since, and he'll never leave me. And if you pray that prayer, then you write to us. And we'll send you some literature. Anywhere in the world, we'll send you literature. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You write to us, and we'll send you some literature. And those of you who are in beds of sickness, and I know you can't serve the Lord, you can't be in the King's court, but you can serve the Lord by praying. And you can talk to Jesus, and you can witness to other people about Jesus, and you can let them know about the Savior. Live for him, and live for him as long as you can live. As long God left you here for a purpose, and it wasn't just to live for yourself. He never left us to live for ourselves, but we're to think about other people. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to give his life a ransom for many. And that's what we have to do. We have to be witnessing for the Lord. And sometimes you may be like, I was reading about Fanny Crosby. And she went when she was 8 years old, she wrote a poem. She was blind. And she wrote a poem and she said, oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. That's what we need to do, all of us. So you accept Jesus. Maybe you've drifted away from the Lord. Maybe you're like the prodigal son and you've gone off someplace and you lived a riotous life. You forgot about God, you come back. Because I'll tell you what you'll do. God will have, the Father will have his arms wide open, and he'll take you in his arms, and he'll bless you, and he'll forgive you all your sins. He'll take you back. You say, well, I sinned against light. I knew it was wrong. I did it anyway. It doesn't make a bit of difference. And so you come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And he says, if you call upon me, I'll give you eternal life. So you write to us, and if you can help us with a supporter, we need to have you to help us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. We need to hear from you, friends, so you help us. We're in this work together. Now I want to pray for you, dear Lord. I'm thanking you and praising you for the multitude of people all over the world that are making that prayer right now. And you're answering every one. And Lord, I'm praying, and we're praying today for those on beds of sickness, those who are shut in and aged and can't get around. We're praying for the young people, Lord, oh, the temptations they have, and the precious children, that we'll all turn to Jesus and ask Jesus to come into our heart. And when we make that prayer, the minute we make it, our sins are gone. Our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Jesus. And so we just hope now that you'll write to us. We've got to hear from you. And those of them on shortwave, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So we're going to be looking for your help. We've got to have your help to carry on. And we're all part of a team when we know Jesus. We're all on the same team. So put everything you got into it. Pray and give and stand by and witness for the Lord. Next week, we're going to have an exciting story about Moses, the baby Moses. Don't you love that? Tune us in, and you'll be blessed. God bless you, everyone. We pray for you. We love you, and God does too. And we're all standing together.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.